To catch some of you up, 3 weeks ago, the Cox Chapel congregation started a new chapter in the life of this community. We began this service anew. We relaunched it, so to speak, with a new pastor, a new music coordinator, new bulletin, new order of worship, and so forth. And on that first Sunday, the prophet Jeremiah begged the question of us, who will we be? And so we've been looking to the Gospel of Luke ever since to help answer that question. And so in chapter 14, when Jesus tells the guests at the Pharisees' home to choose the seat of lowest honor when attending a wedding banquet, we discern that as a community, we will humble ourselves. We will follow the downward path of Christ rather than the upwardly mobile way of the world. And later in Luke, when Jesus says to the crowds, you must hate your father and mother and sell all your possessions and bear your cross if you are going to follow me, we discerned that following Jesus means detaching ourselves from what we love. And so as a community, we decided that we wouldn't be empty followers, but we'd be ones committed to the cost of discipleship. And now, this week, we turn to the gospel again to see who we will be in light of Luke chapter 15. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text this morning begins with Jesus being criticized by the Pharisees and scribes because he was eating and welcoming tax collectors and sinners. This seems to have become a pattern, Jesus offending the religious leaders. Why can't they just let a good thing be a good thing? But they're disturbed because somehow Jesus dining with sinners means that he might, by association, become less holy. They still don't seem to get the mission of Jesus. And so it's to them, these scribes and Pharisees, that Jesus offers three stories. They are three lost and found parables, and they come to us right in a row. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. The second is the parable of the lost coin. And the third is the parable of the lost son, more commonly known to us as the story of the prodigal son. I want to grant myself some lectionary liberty this morning and bring in that third story to help round things out a bit. Now, for our first story, we have a story about sheep. There were 100 in the flock, but for one particular sheep, things went wrong. This sheep made its way from the pasture into the wilderness, apart from its brothers and sisters and its shepherd. This sheep was lost, away from home, and vulnerable to danger. Now, clearly, this isn't a good thing for the sheep. So the shepherd leaves the other 99 sheep in his flock and commits to searching for this missing one, refusing to quit until he finds it. And when the sheep is found, the shepherd returns with it on his shoulders, and he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, come and celebrate with me. The second story is about a valuable coin which goes missing, not of its own doing, of course, but its lostness still isn't a good thing for the woman who once possessed it. And so she lights a lamp and sweeps the floor until she finds it. And when she finds it, she too calls together her friends and neighbors saying, come and celebrate with me. Our third story, the prodigal son story, is about a son who willfully travels to a foreign country and wastes all of his inheritance. Left alone with nothing, not even food to eat, he's lost. And with all the shame he bears, he assumes he can only return to his father's house as a slave. But to his surprise, his father runs to greet him with affection, celebrating that what once was dead was now alive, and again, there's rejoicing. Now, for a moment, let's consider this idea of lostness, since it's the theme for all three of our stories. Although I should warn you, it may take some adjustment to our assumptions. Many of us, myself included, might have grown up with the idea that everyone who doesn't know Jesus is lost. We might have been taught that our natural state of being is sinful, and in order to become God's children, we must repent and claim Jesus as our Savior. Maybe we were taught to believe that anyone who has not made a profession of faith in Christ is an outsider and in an excluded relationship to God. Yet the very word lost suggests that they were first in relationship to God and have only lost their way and need to be brought back. Our parables help us to see this. For example, the sheep was already a part of the 100 in its flock, but it wanders off. Now, the wandering off does not make the sheep any less part of the shepherd's fold. The coin is lost, but we know that coins do not have any wandering wills of their own. So whether it's under a rug or beneath a dresser, it doesn't switch owners by nature of being lost. And the prodigal son, who chose to leave his father and spoil his inheritance, thinks he cannot return as his father's son, and so he must return as a slave instead. But as the story ends up, we find that he never stopped being his father's son. You see, these stories give us a window into the nature of God and God's relationship to us. Though we may try to exclude others, and though we may even think of ourselves as excluded, in the eyes of God, we all belong to God. Whether we wandered our way away from the pasture of God like the lost sheep, or whether we never knew we were lost at all because it never occurred to us or we didn't have the capacity to know it, like the lost coin, or we willfully left our home for a foreign place and wasted our life like the prodigal son, lost is lost, and yet lost does not mean being left. As my pastor once told me, even if you run from God, you cannot hide. God is coming after you, and that's just the gospel truth. Now, we remember why these stories were told in the first place, because the scribes and Pharisees were complaining because of Jesus' affiliation with the sinners and tax collectors. But before they or we begin to think of ourselves as one who aren't in need of God's finding, these stories invite us to consider ourselves as the lost object. We are not to consider ourselves as part of the remaining 99 sheep, or as one of the 9 coins who did not go missing. No, the human role for all of us in this story is as the lost object. Humanity has a propensity for getting lost, don't you know? Each of us has been lost in life more than once. How does that hymn go? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So whether we wandered off by accident or we intentionally decided to forgo what we knew to be true, my guess is that you know what it means to be the sheep who is alone and afraid. Or maybe you know what it means to be the coin who doesn't possess the power to save itself, and so you've waited and hoped that God would sweep you up by God's grace. Or perhaps you too got so lost you thought the only way to return was as something less than you were before. But here's the good news. If we are the lost objects, then we are lost to someone, someone who is seeking us. Consider God in the characters of the shepherd, the woman, and the father. Each of them are relentless in their commitment to finding what has gone lost. Take the shepherd. It seems counterintuitive to us to leave the other 99 sheep in search of just one. Is this good stewardship, we wonder? But God is persistent in pursuit of every last one of us who might stray. And the woman, could she not have been satisfied with the remaining 9 coins? Aren't those 9 coins enough? But for God, without even one of us, things are incomplete. As for the son, the father celebrates, for what once was dead is now alive again, and so he adorns his son with love and affection. These stories are often referred to as the gospel within the gospel. They contain the essence of the good news of the Christian faith. It's God's intention to find us every time we get lost. It's God's determination to break down anything that might be between us to let us know just how much we are loved and how deeply we are wanted back home. To be rescued is to be found by the God who seeks us. Frederick Buechner, who Annie Dillard called one of America's finest writers, had no official religious experience or affiliation when he went to New York City to be a writer. He walked into Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church one Sunday morning because he had nothing better to do, and he heard George Buttrick preach. Buechner later wrote, "At the end, I am left with no other way of saying it than what I found was Christ, or I was found. It hardly seems to matter which." He ended up a theologian and a minister. Henry Nouwen, popular priest, professor, and author, reflected on the third of Luke's 15 lost and found parables in the book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And he writes of the ongoing yearning of the human spirit, the yearning for a final return, a sense of safety, a lasting home. He continues, "The question is not how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by God? Not how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known? Not how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me, longing to bring me home. Can I accept that I am worth looking for?" If we knew nothing else about God or Jesus, these three simple stories he told might be enough. In one sense, God is just like us. Like we, God relentlessly pursues what is most precious. And the beauty of it all is that in God's gaze, what is most precious is us. Can we accept that we are worth looking for and that near or far, the search is on? So who will we be? Each week we've responded to that question as it pertains to what action we can take. We can humble ourselves, yes. We can commit to paying the cost of discipleship, yes. But we cannot find ourselves, for that's only God's doing. And so we will be a community that at times gets lost, sometimes unwillingly, other times willfully. But we will always be a community that is found. For the seeker is persistent, determined, and successful. God is after us. That's just the gospel truth. Friends, as we conclude our series, imagining our future as the Cox Chapel congregation, my greatest hope is that each Sunday would feel like a homecoming Sunday. May you each sense that God is searching for you and that joy and celebration are not complete without you. And may we be a community that welcomes all into the heart of God who does not give up on us, ever. Amen.